Yatov. Okay. So the Lovers went off on a tangent. And he asks a question that according to his reasoning about Hishtadlus, the tzaddik should not need that much Hishtadlus. Things should go easy for them. So why does it happen? At least, even sometimes the kasha is that tzaddikim have it difficult with parnosa. And again, it doesn't just mean parnosa; it means life. Except that Chavis HaLovis always focuses on parnosa. So he starts off saying on page Kuf Lamed Zayin and the print we're using. He says, first of all, I want you to know that this is not a new question. This is a question that Nevi'im grappled with, and he brings down a whole bunch of psukim that Nevi'im grappled with, the question of Rasha, the Tov Lo, and Tzadik V'ra Lo. Now that's really what the question is. Why does the Tzadik have it rough, when logically, based on the reasons of Hishtadlus, he should have it easy? So he says, yeah, Nevi'im asked that question, and the Nevi'im didn't really give a satisfying answer, didn't give much of an answer at all. Chavis HaLovis says, why not? Because there are so many reasons, there's so many possibilities, so many terutzim, that the Navi felt just, you know, you can't cover the Nevi'im, it's not a philosophy book. It's not a book, you know, why bad things happen to good people. We have a bunch of chapters, and every chapter suggests something else. The truth is, if you learn Eov, and you learn Eov with Malbim or with other Mefarshim, it really goes through the whole gamut of possible answers. But it's never really that sad as, well, I shouldn't say that. You know, there's a famous statement by, I don't know who, Who made the statement? But it's a, you know, if you believe, there's no questions, and if you don't believe, there's no answers. It really boils down to emuna in Hashem, and emuna that kel emuna the ein ovel, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows what he's doing. So, on one hand, if you don't have that bedrock of emuna, so really, any answer is going to sound, I think, it's going to sound forced or contrived. If you have emunah, then it's okay to say, my emunah is safe. But now I want to have an insight into how HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world. Maybe I'll benefit from it. Maybe there's things I can learn from it. And the Chavis HaLovis is always against the... Not again. Chavis HaLovis, we see many times, is against what is the prevailing attitude in today's Haredi world, maybe in the whole from world. Chavis HaLovis doesn't want you to be satisfied with just saying, you know, have a moon and don't ask questions. Anybody who knows Chavis HaLovis well knows that that's anathema to the Chavis HaLovis. He doesn't want that. He wants to engage your mind. He wants a person to engage their minds, and he wants a person to understand. Kamuvan, you have to have a bedrock of emunah, because if everything is up to how you understand things, so then, you know, so you say this, and then it's a subject of debate, and maybe you might lose the debate. Maybe you're not such a good debater. And then what's going to happen to your emunah if you're not a good debater? So, but the Chavis HaLovis, so this is a foundation of emunah, and then to work from there to get an insight, because he holds, and he says this in various places throughout the whole Sefer, it's not healthy to just tell a person, you know, you have to believe, and then that's the way it is, to just say that. The truth is, it works for many people. It does. For many people, it works. This is what we have now. This is what went on with Slifkin. This is an age-old issue. This is an age-old issue. It didn't start today and last month and last year. It's really an age-old issue. The Rambam, it's not a small thing. You're talking about the Rambam Svarim, Mor Nevuchim, Chedome, took that attitude that you have to try to understand things. And they attacked the Rambam and they burnt the Svarim. So anyway, the Chavis HaLovis is saying you need the bedrock of Emunah that Kel Emunah Ve'ein Ovel. That's a very important yisod. Hashem is righteous. Hashem, by definition, Hashem is righteous and wants tzedek. And it could be philosophically that's a chiddush. Could be, you know, there's an important principle there. It could be, say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has values. Philosophically, it's not such a simple thing to say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has values. It's like, you know, like saying, can Hashem make a rock that he can't pick up? It's just like saying, could Hashem do something unjust? And the answer is he can't. Meaning, what does it mean he can't? It means he, by definition, he doesn't. Because Hashem is just. But it's a very, very deep idea, really. That the idea of justice is like you say, Hashem is an Osa Chesed, right? Hashem is Osa Chesed. That's part of a Rachum and an Osa Chesed and a Meitiv, right? So in Kabbalah, it's like, that's as close as we can get to defining Hashem. You know, what do you mean Hashem is a Meitiv? Hashem is nothing. Like, and who says he's a Meitiv? Maybe he could be maybe he could do evil. Like, could Hashem do evil? So just like we say that Meitiv and Merachem, and, well, let's talk about Meitiv. That's, in Kabbalah, that's really the, everything flows from that, that Hashem is a nosein and a meitiv. He wants to give, he wants to bestow, he wants to give things, he wants to grant, he wants to, a shefa to come out of him, so to speak, right? and to go on to other things. He wants to. Why does he want to? There's a big machlokes in the philosophers why he wants to. Could he want differently? So in Chabad, they just say that's the bedrock. You don't ask questions on why someone wants to do something. Kacha, he wants. You can't ask a kasha on Hashem's rotzon. Others answer that it really goes into the very, it's dangerous territory because we have no really concept of the nature of Hashem's essence. Anyway, getting back to the Chavis HaLovis, I think it's, so you say Meitiv, we're used to these ideas. He's Meitiv, he's a no saying, you know, we deal with these things. But that Hashem is just is already, you know, justice is already not, it doesn't seem to be, it seems to me. You may argue with me. It doesn't seem to be as intrinsically, like, it's a powerful idea that justice and yosher and kel emunah ve'ein ovel is so important. It's part of Hashem's makeup. It's part of the universe's makeup that there should be justice. Things should have a mahalach. It shouldn't just be arbitrary and undeserved. Things have to be deserved. Hashem set up really a very rational world where things are deserved. You have to deserve rachamim also. You have to deserve chesed. You have to deserve all the things that we have, even if we don't deserve it really, in the sense of it's coming to us, but there has to be some system in which Hashem decides to give it to us. Anyway, so the Chavis HaLovis is saying that the bedrock is believing that Kel Emuna, the Ein Ovel, and it's Nistoros, we don't understand Darkei Hashem. Having said that, he then says, but let me try to explain possible reasons, because the Chavis HaLovis wants to engage the mind of a person, his koach to be a rational being, and he feels it's very important. So he says, let me go through a few possible reasons so that you could relate to something. Bafal Pikain on page Kuflametches, if you have the printing. Reisi Levar Bezed Dvarim. Nevertheless, although the bottom line really is Hashem does not do an Ovel, Hatsur Tamim Pa'alo Kichol Drachov Mishpat, but I'll give you a little Sipuk, Sheish Be'Mikza Sipuk, I'll give you something that satisfies the mind. Until now you satisfied the heart, now you have to satisfy the mind. Va'omar ki ofen asher machmosa yimonim and achosar asogos parnasoso, the reason the chosid, the tzaddik, doesn't have easy parnasa, ache yamol bo v'yusnasa bekach, until he works very hard, he struggles, and it's in a soyon. So, efshar shehi machmos chet shekodam lo. Even the tzaddik was chotei. So everybody has flaws in their makeup, in their background, in their history. Everybody has some flaws. Everyone has done crossed the line at some point. So he's getting punished for that. So the first answer he gives is the tzaddik is not a perfect tzaddik. He's presumably an imperfect tzaddik. So he's getting punished. And in fact, Hashem is doing a chesed by punishing him in Olam Hazeh. So that purifies him and makes him whole for Olam Haba. Efshe shehi machmos chet shekodem lo, there was a chet. Hamachayev lehipora mimenu olav. Ka'omroin tzaddik ba'aretz yeshulam afki rosha v'chotei. Efshe shehi kedei... Okay, so he makes it into another terrace. First of all, he might just plain straightforwardly being punished. The efshar shehi kedei l'shalem lo b'olam haba. Either he means that as a continuation of the previous idea, that he has some chet and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is making sure he gets paid back for his chet in olam hazeh, or he could mean that it's an asayon. It's an asayon to see if he'll repudiate his being a chassid, his being a tzaddik. It's the Mishnah novels tells of someone al tamim b'atzmachad yom moscha. So sometimes the Kadosh Baruch Hu provides a tzaddik arbitrarily. It's an asayon. This is the Chavis Lovus of Second Teretz. And it'll be a nisayon, and the purpose will be that when he overcomes the nisayon, so he gets more schar, and he gets more olam haba. He's improved. The tzaddik can also reach a plateau. There's a danger that a tzaddik will reach a plateau also. So Kadosh Baruch Hu provides situations in which he'll have to struggle, in which he'll have to overcome, in which he'll have to be mechadesh. He'll have to be mechadesh his sitkis. He'll have to grow. He'll have to grow in his being a tzaddik, accepted. Hashkel amuna beinovel. That's called sidur kadin. But that's really a stepping stone. It's Hashem providing him with, ammunition to l'shalim lo b'olam haba. His third reason is Hashem. Maybe it's to publicize him. People see how he reacts to it, and then people say, "I'm going to learn from him. I want to learn how to be quiet. I want to learn how to be more accepting. I want to learn how to not to feel a sense of entitlement. I want to learn how to not get angry. I want to learn how to not get depressed." People will learn from him when they see how he handles different situations. So he's pashut, he'll get his schar for this, there's no question. But he's pashut like a teaching aid. he's a teaching tool of Hashem to show people. I think we've all experienced this in our lives. We have role models that reacted a certain way when they had difficulties. So the Chavis, although this is being mechadish, that's enough of a reason. Hashem could do that in order that the person serve as an example for others how to react in certain situations. So you'll say, but wait a second, that's not fair. No, he gets his schar. This is another, just like we said before, Hashem could give it as an asayom to have the tzaddik grow and steig. If Hashem says, hey, you know, you've reached a plateau, that's no good. You got to kick him in the pants a little, that he should continue to grow. Here he gets his schar he gets double schar. Really, he gets his schar for reacting the right way, for not getting angry and annoyed and upset, and he accepts it and he goes further. And he gets schar for being the tool of Hashem and teaching this lesson. So that might be why it's happening. So when you see a tzaddik having a rough time, you're supposed to be learning from him how to react to rough times. This is like a combination of things. It sounds almost as if it belongs to a different religion, a little. He says, if the door has averos, if the generation has averos, the tzaddik will suffer. Like, why? So he says, Menasseh also Hashem ba'oni v'dalu sumachlos. And again, he goes, k'dei lefarsim tzidko, u'mishmatu l'shem b'ladehem. In order to have people learn from his reaction, And they'll improve. So he says, sometimes the tzaddik suffers as a kapara. This is what we say sometimes. It's a kapara for the door. But what does it mean, the kapara for the door? You know, the Chavis doesn't accept magic wands. He doesn't accept magic things. So he says, the kapara for the door means people will see what the tzaddik is undergoing, they'll learn from it, and that will be a schus for them. So it's really for the sake of others. It's also a takeoff on the previous teretz, but it's a little more sharp that it's because of the averus of the anchei dor. So then something happens to him, and again they find that they see it, they see his reaction, and they learn from it, and that's a kapara for them. They hopefully better their ways. The Efshar, now the Chavis Lova says another teretz. So, and this teretz is very scary teretz. Why? Because he already raised the possibility that the tzaddik was chote, and he's being punished for a chait. He already, like, that was his first teretz. Maybe that. Now he's saying a new teretz, like another teretz. Maybe it's because he allowed others to sin, and he didn't give them tochacha, he didn't give them musar, he didn't try to change the world, he didn't try to change them, he didn't do anything about others. So, he already said the tzaddik maybe was chote, but that was, you know, the tzaddik was maybe chote, maybe he talked. Lashon Hara, we don't know that. We look at him as a tzaddik, but maybe he did things wrong. Here he says he can have a perfect person that really, you know, no flaw is perceived, but maybe he's being punished. After shehei al ihis chaskol lekani l'Hashem me'anshei doro. He doesn't remonstrate with people who are doing avos. He doesn't. It's not my business. He doesn't take arvus. He doesn't take charge. Kfishi adati miparshus Eli ubanov. That's what happened to Eli and his children. That Eli was punished with a horrific curse to him and his descendants because he was not Moche and his children. His children did avlus in the Mishkan. They made people wait and they took certain meats too early that they weren't entitled to. And Eli did not remonstrate with his children. It says in Shmuel. And that, maybe that's why he was punished. Eli died a horrific death, right? He died after hearing the bad news about the Aaron Elokim that was captured, and he falls down and he dies, and his children die on that day.
Why were they punished for subsequent generations? Like, weren't they decreed that nobody from that family would ever die young?
Why such a punishment?
Like, why the future ones? They hadn't been.
Whenever you see something like that, you have to. It means that what happened, the chait of Bnei Eli, that. Let me first repeat the Chayyus Halavas's point that Eli did not give them enough Musar. He didn't remonstrate with them enough. He didn't stop it enough. Whenever you see something like that, it means it was a flaw. It was a very deep flaw that carried over to the next generations. Such a thing can happen. There's no question. Someone could be flawed in midos or in attitude, and then he has children, and he gives over that skewered way of looking at something to his children, and then his children to that children, to their children. It could be. That could happen. So I think that when you see such a thing, like a punishment for Eli, that for Doros, the children will die relatively young, it means that it means there's something wrong with the base Eli, and we can't let it flourish and survive and flourish and have more children, and that would be terrible for Klal Yisrael. There's some flaw in that family. That's the pshat. I mean, that's not what it says. That's what it means. You know, like you say, you know, you're already punishing for future terrorists, but it doesn't make any sense. But it makes sense if the family has a flaw. Yeah.
Haley obviously had a certain amount of influence on his children because they were his children. But can a person... I'm just as far as giving tochacha, if you don't know if you're really going to have influence on a person.
So that's why we have a Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch gives us the guidelines when to give tochacha, when not to give tochacha. Okay, is that enough of an answer? We're governed by halacha. Should you stop now, run out of the shir, and drive to Kibbutz Yishai, where someone's about to eat a ham sandwich? Chas v'shalom. So according to the, there's rules in Tochacha. So we follow halacha, but the whole Gemara, but it's a scary concept. I talked about this. Anybody here from Chevron? No, no one was there. I talked about this in Chevron, that, you know, Parashas Nitzavim, we read Parashas Nitzavim yesterday. So Parashas Nitzavim starts off with a bris between Hashem and Bnei Yisrael. Now, if you know Yechumish, there was a bris at Har Sinai, and that's described in Parashas Bechukosai, which concludes the terrible things that it says in Bechukosai will happen as punishment. It concludes Eila Divri HaBris, this was a bris. Then in Parshas Kisado that we read last week, it also says this is another bris that Hashem made when they're about to cross over to Eretz Yisrael, the Arvus Moav, just like he made a bris on Har Sinai. Then Parshas Nitzavim, not so far, then Nitzavim Mayom Kulchem, La'ovrachav v'vris Hashem elokecha. Well, so the Arachayim HaKodesh says this is the bris of Arvus. He brings it from the Gemara, that this is they're about to enter Eretz Yisrael, and now everybody's responsible for his fellow Jew. So you can't close your eyes and say, you know, if you learn Navi.
That was with Achan?
What?
The problem was with Achan?
Achan was probably the first public example of that happening. In fact, just to bring you as a proof, it's only when they entered Eretz Yisrael, the Gemara says. In fact, by Ochan it says that he took the
so
by Moshe he did the same thing. So why weren't Bnei Yisrael punished in the previous times? And the answer is there was no Arvus yet.
Mm-hmm.
Arvus started when they crossed over into Eretz Yisrael, which is an idea in itself, that this the ultimate bond between all Jews, and we're brothers and we care about each other and we're responsible for each other, which is like a very heavy responsibility. So that started in Eretz Yisrael. So Chemer and I explained, because when you're in Golus, you're basically every man for himself.
Mm-hmm.
You live in Eretz Yisrael, so you say, like the whole Klal Yisrael is like in defiant. You become a finite entity,
mm-hmm.
right? So you're here, and now everybody's responsible for everyone else, like within this set. When you're in Golos, it breaks down. Maybe that's the shot.
Excuse me.
Yeah.
Since now it's half and half, people are out, people are in Eretz Israel, would that apply?
No. Once the Arvus was Chal, and it remains even after they're sent into Golos. I misspoke. Right. Before you come into Eretz Yisrael, when they were still in the Midbar, but once they came, and then Arvus was given, and now it's a legality. Now it stays, like no matter what happens, it's a legality. We were searching for the rationale of the original halacha. Why only they had 40 years with the Torah already, but they weren't responsible till they entered Eretz Yisrael. So, it's very scary, because he's been through, the tzaddik could do a chait. Now we're talking about a perfect tzaddik, but maybe he's being punished because the guy in the kibbutz, you know how scary this is? Maybe he's being punished because the guy in the kibbutz didn't put on tefillin. Scary thought. So if you indeed have no connection to him and there was no way you could have done okay, there's rules to that chiyuv also. But be aware that it's there. Think of... Like you think sometimes, Hashem, let's say, Rav Noach was an Eish HaTorah, right? So you say, he goes to Shemayim, and Hashem shows him, like, thousands, tens of, I don't know, thousands, we'll call it, of the shamas. It says, you're responsible that they don't, that they're not connected to me. And there's a guy from California there, a guy from Wichita, Kansas, and a guy from somewhere in England, a guy from Australia. And he says, like, how was I supposed to connect to these people? What are you joking? I'm being punished because the guy in Australia is not from. I say, yeah, you could have made this yeshiva. So.
That's like when it's sin or absolution.
Right.
But then what?
So what are you supposed
you
to do?
You don't need them ourselves.
That's for sure.
We don't have Nevi'im who could tell us.
You don't need a Navi, you do what you can. Do what you can. If you say, well, should I stand in Midrachal Ben Yehuda and give out Shabbos candles, right? Which some women do.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, some women do it. So you say, well, should I do that? But then who's going to make Shabbos, right? And it's very nice, Rabbi Milinowitz, but my husband comes home from shul after saying Lachadodi, and I'm barely ben shlith because I was busy in Midrachal Ben Yehuda giving out Shabbos candles, and I just got home. I forgot what. So if you're not sure and you think you should be doing something, I'm not looking for work, but that's really why you're supposed to have a rabbi. A rabbi is not a navi, it's true. It's not as easy as it used to be, where the navi just says, okay, chick chak, this, that. So it's harder, but indeed, it should be scary enough that we should make an assessment if we're doing what we could. So maybe you just want to write out a $100 check. to who was here to Matzah Shabbos 2 weeks ago? Leiv Echad?
Leiv
Echad. Yeah, and you say, okay, I did mine. Hashem comes to me with tainus that I didn't care about Kali so being from, so I gave, here's my $100 to Leiv Echad I gave. That has some validity, but what do you do if Hashem says, you're right, two people started putting on tefillin, but why didn't you give $200? And four people would have started putting on tefillin. What's your excuse? Why didn't you give 400? Why didn't you give? Yes, I'm scaring everyone. It boils down to the same yisod. You're supposed to do your best. No, but I will say that it is important enough that you should be aware that a Jew has that responsibility. You can't just forget about it. Like, I have enough on my plate. Could be having enough on your plate this week, or this month, or this year. Could be. Yeah, that's why people are supposed to make a cheshbon ha-nefesh. You're supposed to really take stock and see, am I doing what I'm supposed to be doing? Can I be doing more? Should I be doing more? Is it practical? Can I do it? But you're supposed to take stock and think about it. At least for Shoshana, right? You're supposed to take stock and think. You're not supposed to stay static your whole life. So you're right. You have to make a determination.
But we'll never ultimately know if the hishtadlut we made, the choices that we made in the world of cause and effect that we've been talking about were the right ones or not.
Yes, you will. Yeah, like you said, you'll never. Yeah, that's right.
Then it's
that's
a
right.
Way to
that's right.
So choices.
So you do your
best.
You do your best. You do your best. You do your best. And say,
choice.
I'm going back to that yisod. You do your best. You do your best. But if you never heard of this arvus, so then you say, thank you, Rambam. I never realized that I have this thing to at least think about. So you say, what am I doing? Okay, so maybe Taka. So Taka write out $100 check to B'lei Lechad. Indeed. And do it that way. That's a valid way of doing it. You know, nowadays, it's like in medicine. It's like in every discipline. Everybody specializes. So you have the fellow that was here a few weeks ago talked about Meshovev Nesivos that provides big brothers. And locally you have Hakshiva. That really is, you know, and this is our neighborhood already, and they're trying to get a handle on things. They're trying. It's an enormous task. Yeah, and then there's used to be, you have the Chilonim, and you have. So you do your best. But the Chavis HaLodos, I'm stunned. I myself am stunned. The Chavis HaLodos makes a separate point of this. This is not under the heading of the Tzaddik did a chait. This is the perfect Tzaddik that number four, he maybe was not careful enough to stop people from doing evil, from doing bad. Yeah.
The Jewish people as a whole, as I see it, they're so afraid of bad influence that automatically they stay away. Like if somebody is, like,
there's something to be said for that. That's why you need a Rebbe. That's why you need a Rav.
He stays away and stays within.
That's why
boundary.
People. I don't want to insult anybody.
A Kiruv specialist almost.
That's why I don't want to insult anybody. That's why people are laymen. People are laymen. And we're living in an age of specialization, and people are basically laymen, and it's very hard to make your own decisions. It's hard. So that's why you that's why you need a rabbi, really.
I'm saying is, does that absolve people? Therefore,
what
would that absolve people?
Yeah, but remember that Hashem knows. Hashem knows. Hashem says that you were so afraid of coming into contact with these people.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, but when you had to go on a vacation in the summer and you were went to areas where there were. So then that didn't bother you so much. That's what Hashem does, yeah. If you don't think, Hashem throws things back in your face. Right? You were worried about it when it came to doing Kira, but you weren't about it when you had to go on vacation. I'm scaring everyone, and okay, you know something? First of all, it's good to be scared for Yom HaDin.
Mm-hmm.
That's first of all. And second of all, there's no second of all. You do your best, but you have to at least hear that there's such an obligation. And then you do your best. So what is your best? I don't know. With Noach, I always point to the story. With Noach, you know, he sends people out. He makes them crazy. He says he's so insistent that and they go back to Chutz Laaretz. When people move to Eretz Yisrael, they want to live in Eretz Yisrael. He virtually forces them to go back to America.
Rav
Noach Weinberg and Eishet Torah. I just was connected there. Rav Sameach, the same thing. I don't know. Rav Sameach is not so. I don't have the impression Rav Sameach is not as
proactive
as go out there and like you know there's a spiritual holocaust going on.
You learn all if you teach all the sheep. Mm-hmm. So as you learn something, you go out and teach it to somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
He just made it, you know, they just had a video, that video that they showed. It was really, it wasn't really a video about Europe, it was an advertisement for Eishet Torah. But he's allowed, you know. There was a video about he made a trip to Europe. I think they even showed it here one night.
The inspired video? Something about the, they went to Europe. The Rebbe and the Eishet Torah.
Okay, so why does it have to do with bitacha? That's why in the shiur, should we skip this?